"The history of the world is but the biography of great men," wrote Carlyle around 1840. Nowadays we would add, "and women." But of course the lack of women is not the only problem with this statement. There's a growing recognition that our understanding of history is seriously flawed if we see it only as the story of the aristocracy. When we look back on 2020 and 2021, I wonder what and whom we will remember. Captain Tom, of course, probably Boris Johnson, though not necessarily for the same reasons. We may remember a teacher who has stood out in terms of online provision, or an NHS or care worker who we've encountered. But what of those of us who have not taken a lead in our communities, who've not gone viral on Twitter or been recognised for our fundraising or community efforts? A World War I recruiting poster showed a child asking a man, "What did you do in the Great War, Daddy?" presumably to spur him into volunteering so that he would have a story to tell and not have to face the shame of answering, "Nothing special." But if someone were to ask me the same in 50 years' time about the pandemic, what would I say? How would I feel? We cannot all be Captain Tom or Joe Wicks. But the truth is, it's the people in the news, the ones who make headlines, who often seem to define our age. Increasingly, they're not the ones Carlyle might consider to be great, but they have become so by their actions. We remember the people whose stories are told and retold. If, for example, I were to ask you who in the Old Testament stands out for you, how would you reply? Abraham, the patriarch? Ruth, the faithful daughter-in-law? Moses, the lawgiver? Esther, the quick-witted queen? David, the mighty yet flawed king? Rahab, the prostitute, who becomes part of Jesus' family tree by her faith in the God of Israel? As I speak these names, you're probably able to conjure up their stories, or parts of their stories, in your mind. And it's not only their names, but their stories that make them so familiar to us. They may not by birth have fallen into the category of Carlyle's great men, but their stories have taken them there. But they are only a small number of the people mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures. What about all those others, especially those who appear in long lists of names, but about whom we know nothing else? In calling this reflection, "Those Who Begat and Those Who Did Not," I wanted to acknowledge my fellow feeling with that vast number of people in these books whose individual stories we do not know. We might have heard their names from verses such as 1 Chronicles 2:10 to 11, "And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salma." But we know nothing about them. These are the people, mainly men, but sometimes women as well, who, if you think about them at all, are the ones who make your heart sink when Chronicles or Numbers appears in the lectionary and you're down to read. People like Nadab, Mala, Shuthelah, Hoglah and Zelophehad, names which I admit to have picked rather at random from Numbers 26 to ensure a gender balance. But people like this were part of families to whom they were as familiar as your family is to you. They played as children, fell in love, rejoiced at the favour the Lord had shown them in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, and trudged through the wilderness following Moses, grumbling and moaning. People like these were the ones who gathered manna, ran around catching quails to pluck and eat, brought their gold rings to Aaron to form into an image of a calf, then spun and wove gold, blue, purple and crimson yarns for an ephod. And in the insistent appearances of such lists of names in various books of the Old Testament, they also stand for all those others whose stories we are not told, and whose names don't even get a mention in a list. Think of the unnamed people who reaped in Boaz's field, leaving gleanings for Ruth, or the ones who laboured to build the temple for Solomon, or who valiantly tried to defend their city against the Babylonians. In short, these were the people who made possible all the stories we know and love. It's often said that the people or nation of Israel is the greatest character in the Hebrew Scriptures, but the downside of that view is that it tempts us to forget human individuality, an individuality that's not revealed by their stories, but may perhaps be hinted at in naming some of the names. King David carries out a census of the people and is immediately stricken to the heart because he had numbered the people and done foolishly. He wanted to know how many the people are so that he could calculate the strength of his armies rather than relying on the Lord for victory in battle. He quantified his people and was punished for it. But for those of us in the UK who have recently had to complete a census form, it's reassuring to know that censuses are not all bad. The book of Numbers begins with an instruction from God to take a census. But this is a different kind of census to David's. This one, sanctioned by God, is a census according to the number of names. The people are not to be quantified or reduced to numbers. It is their names that matter. As a result, whenever and wherever those scriptures are read, those people are remembered as part of Israel's history, briefly individualized in the mouth of the reader and the ears of the listeners. Seeing people en masse stops us recognizing their humanity. Names help us to see others as individuals when we do not know their stories. We read out the names of those on our war memorials at annual village ceremonies to give individual dignity to those whose lives can seem so remote to us, but on whose actions our own society is built. The growing interest in family history is typified by programmes such as Who Do You Think You Are? Each programme may start with a famous face, but the real interest lies in their forebears, who were as ordinary as you or me, and usually as little known as others of their day. But in uncovering their names, as I have discovered in researching my own family history, we begin to see the mass of people who made up the past as individuals. They may not be famous, in my case none of them are, but they grappled with the issues of their day just as much or as little as I do now, and they played their parts in my story and, more importantly, in God's story. Names turn people from masses into individuals, and in making individuals, they hint at stories. Our distant ancestors recognised the power of names and told folk tales about this. Do you remember the story of Rumpelstiltskin, who demanded the Queen's firstborn child unless she could guess his name? By chance she discovers it, and when she names him he flies into a rage and disappears. In the magical world of fairy tales and folklore, names take on a mystical significance, giving a power over others that can be abused as well as used. In the contemporary world, names are no less potent, but it's often in their omission, whether intentional or unintentional, that abuse lies. A quote. Each one has their own unique story to tell. They are parents, children, siblings, and friends. They are artists, musicians, teachers, and doctors. They are people, and they have names. This quote could have been written about the people of Israel, but in fact it was written of Syrian refugees in 2015. Alan Shenu, also known as Alan Kurdi, was one of those, and is one of the few whose name was all too briefly on our lips when his picture hit the front pages of the newspapers as his body lay on the Turkish beach, washed by waves in the edge of the surf. Alan, son of Abdullah and Rehana, brother of Ghalib. We don't know the details of their stories, but in their names they become individuals, and how much greater is their power to move us. In recording the names of so many of those early Israelites, even without telling their stories, the Hebrew Scriptures remind us of that tension between being an individual and being part of something bigger. Without the memorable stories of the great individuals of the Hebrew Scriptures, such as Moses and David, We would have little framework within which to hold those who are now storyless. But without the storyless, indeed without the nameless, Moses and David would have had no one to save from slavery, no one to lead. Known and unknown depend on each other for God's work to be done. And that continues into the New Testament. What would the story of Jesus healing the hemorrhaging woman be like without the press of the nameless crowds? And what about those thousands of nameless, hungry people who ate loaves and fishes beside the Sea of Galilee? This week I encourage you to think about names and about the individuals that make up the masses in your life. Whose names do you know? And who are the ones whose stories remain a mystery to you, but who nonetheless are part of the journey you are on with God? How do you remember others? And how are you known by them? For even the ones whose names are no longer remembered and read in our scripture are still known by God. After all, he has called us by name, and it's by name that we are his, just as his people have always been from the beginning.